The bottom of Tes Zayin Omid Beis in Maseches Bava Basra, we open up with noticing markings that draw our attention to the side of our Gemara, which explains the markings. The geometric forms that you find in the Shas Ozer indicate something of a repetitive nature, a series, or just to make mere association. In this case, we're using a triangle. The key on the side says, Sidra shel braisos sheim poischim b'misporim. There's a set of Tanaic sources, and you notice following each triangle onto Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, there's a section that's in a frame. Those are Tanaic sources. Each one of them opens up with a number. The first one opens with Shlosha. You can see as your eye scans the next Omid, Shisha, and then Shiva, and Arba, and we've added a slashed underline to the numbers to bring out that as well. Starting the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha hit'imon HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olam hazeh me'ein ha'olam haba. There were three that received a taste of Olam Hazeh in Olam Haba. Elohein, Avram, Yitzchak, Yankov. How do we know this? So the Gemara, the source cites Psukim. Avram dechtiv be Bakol, Yitzchak dechtiv be Mikol, Yankov dechtiv be Kol. The Psukim are found in Rashi. One can take a look at that later. Shloisha, Lo Sholat Bohen Yetzer Hara. There are three that were not victim of the Yetzer Hara. Elu Hein, Avram Yitzchak Yankov, Dichtiv Behu, Bakol Mikol Kol. These are expressions indicating that they were complete. So, as one not victimized by the Yetzer Hara, can be described as complete. V'yesh Omrim Af David, Dichtiv Belibi Cholol Bekirbi. According to the Yesh Omrim, David is to be included in this list. As he's saying, Cholo Bekirbi, as if to say that the Yetzer that was within me is dead. Cholo, referring to a corpse, but something dead. Ve'idoch, the Tanakama, the first opinion, who did not list David, what about this Pasuk? He explains, Tzarei hu, the Midkar. Word Midkar is Mazkir, the Dalid and Zion interchange. David is recalling his actual pain, that he feels dead from all of the pain that he suffered. Before we go further, just a few technical notes. The opening of this source had three that were given the taste of Olam Haba. Tosis raises an issue. Why is it that Eov is not mentioned? The Gemara at the bottom of Tes Vov Amid Beis mentioned that Eov had animals that while plowing, while the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were eating that which grew immediately, which would be a phenomenon that will be zecha to enjoy in Olam Haba. Take a look at Tosfos at the top. Shloisha v'chulei me'ein Olam Haba. Teimo l'Rashba. Amai lo choshev nami Eov. The Omar li'Eov. Why is Eov also not included in this list? As was said earlier, v'ha'asoynos ro'os al yedehem, melameid sheet imay kodesh baruch hu me'ein olam haba, he was given a taste of olam haba, so why is he not mentioned? Answer, v'yesh lomar, di'iov lo hoya elo b'chad milsa. Eov had this taste of olam haba only with regard to one example, one aspect. Avrom v'yisof v'yankiv nenu me'ein olam haba mikol v'kol. In all aspects of their life, they had experience of the next world, of the future. There's a Tosfos that's the third one on the page. The Tosfos are out of position. The second one really should have been positioned after the third. Shlosha lo sholat b'em yetzora. The Tosfos says, Ein lefaresh, one should not think to explain shlo sholat klal, that these people had no yetzora. The im kein hechi kiblu ale agra. How could a person possibly get schar if he doesn't have a yetzahara? We often say lefum tsaro agra. According to the pain, is the reward, or as English speakers often say, no pain, no gain. So how is it that they receive reward? Elo, the explanation is kida omar Mai dichtiv ragli chasidov yishmor. That's a posuk. Kevon she'ovar odom roiv shnoisov alo chota. If a person is successful in battling his yetzahara, robe of his life, right? He's successful. He conducts a battle, robe of his life. And if we say yemei shnoisenu shivim shana, if you say a person lives 70 years, so let's just throw out a number, 35 years. He battles his yetzahara for 35 years, or till age 35, and he's successful in overcoming the yetzer. He's successful in watching his eyes. He's successful in kavona, in brochas, in davening. He's successful in keeping himself from lashon hara. He's successful in resisting forbidden foods. And he goes through rov shnosav like that. There's this amazing result. Shuv eino chote. Hachinami. That's a quote from the Gemara in Yuma. So Tosfos applies it here. Kevan shura kodesh bochu shayu dochakim atzmam kol kach lisrachik mino avera. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw these people listed in our Brisa as distancing themselves from sin. Sayyoma Kodesh Baruch Hu mikan ve'eleich shelo sholat bohem yetzahara. Sholat means to rule over them. They were not ruled over by the yetzahara. One can infer they did have a yetzahara, but they didn't have the same strain and the same need to battle it like one in his first half. So that should be a source of great chizuk for all of us that are learning this, that even though we find often it's a very great pain, it's a great strain, every time this forbidden view comes my way, or this forbidden food comes my way, and I have to resist the temptation, and it's very hard. It's a real uphill battle. Okay, but one should know that it doesn't have to last a lifetime like that. That if one is successful for the first majority of his lifetime, then it'll become an easy task later on. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonan, Shisha lo sholat bohen malach hamoves. There are six that died without the intervention of the malach hamoves. They died what's called a misas neshika, the death kiss of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is considered a very lofty way to depart. V'elu hein, Avram Yitzchok V'Yankiv, Moshe Aaron U'Miriam. Avram Yitzchok V'Yankiv D'chtiv, Behu, regarding them, we find the expressions Bakol Mikol Kol, that they enjoyed fullness and complete reward. Moshe Aaron U'Miriam D'chtiv Behu, Al Pi Hashem. It says that they died Al Pi, through the mouth of Hashem. The Gemara asks, "Well, Miriam lo ksiv bo al pi Hashem." It doesn't say with regard to her demise that. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Miriam nami b'neshika mesa. She in fact died the same, very pleasant way. Hannah, how do we know that? The Asya Shom Shom mi Moshe. There's a gzeirah shava, comparison of expressions, from Moshe. So why doesn't the pasuk say explicitly al pi Hashem? Answer: Shignai hadover lomar. It's negative. It has a negative sound to it to suggest that the Kodesh Baruch Hu did neshika to Miriam. Tana Rabbanan. Shiva lo shalat behen rima v'toilea. There were seven that did not experience decomposition of their bodies. Rima v'tolea, decomposition and worms. V'yevuhen, Avram Yusuf Yankov, Moshe Aaron and Miriam, u'binyomin ben Yankov. Avram Yusuf Yankov, dechtiv behu, ba'ko mikol kol, Moshe Aaron and Miriam, dechtiv behu, al pi Hashem. And one can rest assured that if one's death is as a result of the kiss of Hashem, that body wouldn't experience decomposition. Binyamin ben Yankov Tichtiv Ulu Binyamin Omar Yedid Hashem Yishkol Levetach Olav, that he will dwell in security, permanent dwelling in security, hence a reference to non-decomposition. V'yesh Omrim Av David Tichtiv Af B'sori Yishkol Levetach, and the Yesh Omrim adds David to this list that his flesh will dwell in security.
V'idoch, what about the Tanakam who did not include David in this list? Answer, Ha'u, the Pasuk that was cited, Rachami hu dekoboi, he was praying for something, as opposed to a description of what would be. We will take a look at the second Tosfos on the page that deals with this topic. Shivo shelo sholta bahen rima. Teimo l'rashbo. The kulut tzadiki nami. All tzadikim. The omar b'shabbos perek shoyo. It says in Masechah Shabbos, v'rekev atzomois kino. That says that the decomposition of one's bones is a result of jealousy. Mi sheyesh lo kino b'liboy. Atzmoisov nirkovin. V'she'en kino b'libo, ein atzmoisov markivin. The person who lives life with one of envy, looking at the neighbor, looking at his friends, his relatives, look what they got, I only wish I could have that. So, that type of person, which is probably the majority of the population, they experience decay, decomposition. However, one who's able to live through life without envy, have the ayin tov, feeling a sense of happiness for what the next person has. I'm so happy he got a new car. I'm so happy he got a new house. I'm so happy he has beautiful kids. That type of person will be zecha to be spared decomposition. So why is it that in our source only seven are highlighted? V'yesh lomar, v'yachol liyos shelo yirkav, v'yishlot bo rima. There is a possibility, and we will Tosfos will illustrate this momentarily, that there won't be decomposition, but there still will be a presence of worms. In other words, the Gemara in Shabbos promises non-decomposition, but it doesn't say anything about the worms. Kidomar b'maisa de Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon b'Asichas Apoilim. There's a story related in Maseches Bava Metzia, the Nofik Richasha Meudne, that his body was lying in a state of death. It was many years he was lying in his own home. To get further details, look up the Gemara there, and the Gemara reports an incident where some type of like worm exited, came forth from his ear, and the reason for that is also explained over there, but suffice it to say that would serve as a precedent for this phenomenon of non-decomposition, but at the same time there could, yes, be the worms. And this list, this exclusive list, is one that not only no composition, but also no worms. Continuing in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Arbo mesu be'ityo shel nochosh. The four people that died only because of Ityoi shel nochosh, ityo, the eighths of the nochosh, which essentially means that God, after the sin that took place in the Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, where the nochosh, some interpret that as meaning a serpent, seduced Chavo and Odom to consume fruit from the Eitz Hadas. At that point, the Kodesh Baruch Hu willed it that death should set upon man. That mankind, man will not live eternally, but there would be death. There are four people listed here that only because of that, not because of sins, not because of Chilul Shabbos, which there's a penalty of death, not because of Avodah Zorah, Chas V'Shalom, there's a penalty of death, not because of all kinds of Isurei Erva and many other that have death penalties associated by way of sin. Therefore, that were successful in never being Mechalel Shabbos. It's an amazing accomplishment. And that the only reason that they experienced death was because that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu willed. V'Yevil Hein, Binyamin Ben Yankov, the Amram Avi Moshe, the Yishai Avi David, the Kilav Ben David. It's a very interesting list. There are four people. In the case of David, you find his father and his son. having reached this very lofty level of mitzvah performance and keeping away from Avera. It doesn't say David. It's interesting. And if one were to ask, if you had to classify people in terms of greatness, one would probably classify David as being the greatest of the greater of these. Suffice it to say that reaching greatness, the standards in order to achieve that contain things other than the issue of sin mitzvah performance. There are many other characteristics that go into achieving greatness. Could be things like mesiras nefesh. It could be things like attitudes, things that are hard to classify as simple mitzvah and avera. Continuing in the Gemara, v'kulhu Gemara, the figures mentioned here are oral tradition, labar mi Yishai avi David, with the exception of the father of David, Yishai, and you can see that there's a long point that the Gemara is going to experience now to bring this out. That for Yishai Avi David, the Gemara says demeforish beikro. There's a posuk bringing the point out. Dichtiv v'es Amosa som Avshalom tachas Yoav alatzava. V'Amosa ben Ish. This man Amosa was the son of a man Ushmo Yasra haYisraeli. Asher bo el Avigail bas Nochosh achois tsruya im Yoav. That's the posuk. There's a woman featured here, Avigail, bas nochosh. The Gemara asks, v'chi bas nochoshi, v'alo bas Yishai. Avigail was the daughter of Yishai. What's this reference to her as bas nochosh? Dichtiv, how do I know that Avigail was the daughter of Yishai? Because it says regarding the children of Yishai the following. V'achiyoseihem, Tsruya v'Avigail. These were sisters, and we know from the posuk in Divrei Hayomim, the posuk is referring to the children of Yishai. So Avigail was a daughter of Yishai. So why does it refer to as Bas Nochosh Ella? It's a hint to the following. Bas, she was the daughter of whom? Mi Shemes Be'ityoy Shel Nochosh. The daughter of the one that died as a result of the Eitzah, the given in Gan Eden by the Nochosh. With that, we have reached the end of the first perek of Bava Basra, Hadron Alech HaShutfin B'li Neder. Second perek, Perek Lo Yachpor, continues to deal with matters between neighbors. And the first Mishnah deals with distancing things between two neighbors. Lo yachpor odom bor somuch leboro shel chavero. We can take advantage of illustrations in the Pirush Chai, the Sefer of Illustrations, authored by Rav Chaim Porush on Maseches Bava Basra, illustrations 241 through 245, which illustrate different forms of digging. The Mishnah tells us that a person should not dig his bor next to that of his friend. V'lo shiach, v'lo me'ora, v'lo amas hamayim, v'lo nivreches koivsim. All of these are illustrated in the Book of Illustrations. Ela imkein, hirchik mikoisel chaveroi shloisha tfochim v'sod besid. One's digging of a bor cannot be done unless he distances this required amount and covers the sides of the digging with sid material. The first section of the Mishnah has to do with distancing of diggings. The second section of the Mishnah deals with distancing materials. Umarchikim es hagefes. Gefes is material that is the result of pressing olives. The residue from the pressing of olives is called gefes. It was a material useful in other areas, but if a person has a pile of gefes in his property, he should distance it. V'yas hazevel, v'yas hamelach, zevel, fertilizer material, or melach, salt, v'yas hasid, v'yas hasloyim, min koisel shel chavero shloisha tfochim. He should distance these materials from the wall his friend may have on his property. A distance, he should distance these three tfochim. As far as the next two words of the Mishnah are concerned, there's a bit of difficulty in how to read it. There's a notation on the upper inside margin, that has a nusach acher that says visod besid. And the reason for this doubt in how to read the Gemara is because the Gemara on Daf Yud Tesamid Aleph and Rashi over there, Dibur Hamasu Le'arvinu, suggests that the girsa here should be Oy Sod Besid. So there's a bit of a question in how to read this section of Mishnah. It will become much clearer when you actually learn the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes. Continuing. Marchikin es hazroim, ves hamachresha, ves meiraglayim, min hakoisel, shloisha tvachim. One should distance seeds, plowing, and urine from his friend's wall, a distance of three tvachim. Umarchikin es horechayim, shloisha min hashechev. Illustration 251. Illustrates this section of the Mishnah. He should distance the grindstone three tfochim from the shechev, shein arbo min horechev. And another thing that must be distanced, v'es hatanur shlosha min akalya. Illustration 252. The tanur must be distanced three from the kalya, which are four. Shein arbo min hasofa. All of these will be explained in detail by the Gemara, and we're taking advantage of the illustrations available to us at this point. Before we go further, though, we will look at the Rashi on the issue of the tanur. V'es hatanur shlosha min akalya. Rashi explains tanur kli cheres hu soruf bekivshan kishar kederos. Tanur was a earthenware, a clay vessel that was fired up in a kiln, like other kederos of pots. Upiv lemala vehabo lekoivoy ba'aretz. One who wants to fix the tanur into the ground, ose binyan tit. He would make a type of a structure made of tit material, ve'avonim, shiyu lo lebosis. There would be the base of the tanur, u'moshivan oisoi olov, and he would place the tanur on top of this base, shelo yitztanenu shulav machmas karka. The individual would not want to have his tanur placed directly on the ground because the ground was cold. The cold ground would decrease the temperature level in the tanur. Ve'oiso binyan osui b'shipua rochov milamata. The kotzar milamala, and this base was a structure that was had an angle to it that was wide at the bottom and narrowed to the top of the base. At the top, the circumference of the base matched the circumference of the tanur. That's kemidas hatanur. Tachtoino kori kalya ve'elyona kori sofa. Klomar svas hakalya svasa elyona. And because the heat produced by the tanur was injurious to a wall, it had to be distanced from the neighbor's wall. So, as we said, the distance from the wall and the tanur must be, as is mentioned in the Mishnah, it's three tfochim from the kalya, which is the three tfachim from the base, from the bottom of the base, which is four tfachim from the top of the base. We have noted in the Mishnah with dashed underlines the word laboro, first line of the Mishnah, and the word mikoisel, which was a little bit further, the fourth line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that one should not dig the bore, and then it listed a number of things, unless he distanced it from koisel chavero. The Gemara asks, posach bebor umesayim bekoisel. Why is it that the Mishnah opens up with the word bor and closes with the word koisel? Rashi will explain that the word koisel does not refer to a wall of his friend, but rather what the Mishnah is trying to tell us is that two neighbors, one has a bor, the other one has a bor, there should be a distance maintained between the boros of the two people. If that be the case, so then it would have made more sense to open the Mishnah as it does. It says, Lo yachbor adam bor samuch lebor shel chavero, and then Elohim kain hirchik mi boro shel chavero. Why did the Mishnah switch to the word koisel? Let's take a look at the Rashi at the top. Posach bebor somuch leboro shel chavero. And the Mishnah said, once again, Lo yachbor adam bor somuch leboro shel chavero. So it's telling me, keep your bor away from the bor of the friend. Continuing in Rashi, v'hadar siyem elim kein hirchik mikoisel. Unless you distance from the wall, havi leilim misni. It should have said elim kein hirchik miboro. Deilu mikoislo. By using the word koislo, koisel habonui al gabi karkahu. That's referring to a wall that's above the surface of the ground. From the surface, a regular wall, as everyone refers to walls between properties. But that's not what the Mishnah was trying to teach. The Mishnah was trying to teach the distance between two boros. The Gemara answers. Amar Abaye, Vitemar of Yehuda, Mikoisel Boroi Shoninu. The intent of the Mishnah when it says at the on the fourth line, it said there, Hirchik Mikoisel Chavero. It really means mikoisel boroi shel chavero. What do we have? We have a fellow who is digging his bor after the previous neighbor already has a bor. I'm being instructed, when you want to dig your bor, dig it 3 tfachim from the wall of his bor. What has happened then? I have set in my property 3 tfachim and then dug my bor. The 3 tfachim that I have set into my property in effect forms the wall of my bor. How thick is the wall of my bor? 3 tfachim. I was told to dig my bor 3 tvachim, mikoislo shel chavero. What does koslo shel chavero mean? The kosel shel bor shel chavero. So I know 2 points of information. I know that my neighbor has a bor with a kosel, a wall with a certain amount of thickness. I also know that my bor is going to be set in 3 tvachim from his bor's wall. So how thick is my bor's wall? 3 tvachim. How thick, therefore, is a bor wall? 3 tvachim. Continuing in the Gemara. V'lisni Elohim kein hirchik miboro shel chavero shlosha tvachim. Wouldn't it have been easier for the Mishnah to say that one, when he digs his bor, should distance it 3 tvachim miboro shel chavero? What was to be gained by using the term koisel or kosel boro? Ha komashmolon. Illustration 254. What did we gain? The following. The koisel bor equals shloisha tefachim. That the thickness of a bor wall is three tefachim. As we mentioned a moment before, we mentioned that I am setting my bor three tefachim away from the koisel of his bor. So I'm acknowledging that a bor has a koisel, and I'm also describing the thickness of my bor's wall having a thickness of three tefachim. The Gemara goes on, nafkamina, the mekach umemkar. The halachic value of this is to know matters concerning trade and pay. Kedesanya. Ha'oim lechavero, bor v'koisle ani mocher loch. If I tell someone that I'm selling you a bor and its walls, sorach she'a koisel shloisha tefachim. There had better be three tefachim to the thickness of the bor's walls. The Gemara now begins a new topic, which is somewhat lengthy. We'll take a look at the side, the nosei, the topic heading. We've also indicated that this goes till Yud Ches Omid Beis. That means that for today's shir, we will only be beginning the topic, the balance of which will be left for the next shir. Let us take advantage of the note we made on the outside margin. Habo lismoich, or lachpor, boro, etzel hametzar. Someone who comes to dig a bor near the border of his neighbor. Beli leharchik, beli koneis lesoch rishusa, without distancing at all. And bizman she'ein lechavero bor, given the circumstance that his friend has no bor there. So how does the landscape look? Two chatzeros, two properties next to each other. No pits there yet. I want to come and dig a pit. And I want to know, can I dig the pit right up to the border? The digging, my shovel will go into a point on my property that's right up next to the border with my neighbor. According to Abaye, we'll see in the Gemara, you can do that. According to Rava, you won't be allowed to do that. We'll also note, before we go into the Gemara, that we have diamond shapes. Diamonds, as well as all different geometric forms in the Shas Ozir edition, try to draw your attention to a series or something of a repetitive nature. Here, your eye is drawn to the next diamond, also accompanied by numbers 1 and 2. There are two lishonos. There's an iko diamri. You might notice above the second diamond, there's a squiggle underlined expression, iko diamri. There'll be another lashon in understanding under what circumstances this machlokas and abaye appears. That's what we've noted on the outside of the margin under the mivneh. You have beis lishonos bagemora b'may pligi abaye varova. What are they arguing about? Basadeho asuya lebaros. A type of property that is designed to have pits dug in them, or besode she'eino asuya leboros, or a type of property that people ordinarily don't dig pits. We've brought out with the markings the expression divrei hakol that you see is featured in a diamond. That means under those circumstances, there will be no argument, and then we've double underlined ki pligi, the circumstances under which they do argue. We then have a chart that you find on the outside of the margin. That chart summarizes the two lishonos in the Gemara containing the machlokas Abaye and Rava. So we will go into the Gemara itself, leaving the chart available for review. Itmar, the Gemara begins. Habo lismoich bitzad hametzar. One wants to dig a bor, a first bor. There are no boros around, and he wants to dig that up along the border of with his friend. Abayam Rasomech, he says you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to dig right up against the border. The Rava Omar Eino Somech. According to Rava, you may dig on your property, but you have to set off. You have to set off a distance from the border and then start digging. Besodeho asuya leboros. if it, it's a type of property that's designed to have boros dug in it, divrei hakol eino soimech. Everyone would agree, even Abaye would agree, you're not allowed to dig right up to the border. Just like you want to have a boros, he's also expected to want to have a boros. What are you going to have, two boros that are that have a, that, that that touch each other? The wall, or the whatever membrane divides them will fall apart. Key pligi, under what circumstances is there a machlokas abaya rova? Besode she'eno asuya leboros. In a field that's not designed to have boros. You don't expect to have boros dug there. And one guy wants to decides he wants to have a bor. Abaye omar somech deho eino asuya leboros. You can do it because it's not going to come at the expense of your friend. He's not expected to have a bor. Rova Omar Eino Somech. The Omar Le. The second fellow can say to the first one, Ki Hechi Da'at Imlichis, just like you've decided, the Chafarto and dug your bor, Arno Nami Mamluchno, the Chafarno. I'm also going to decide, possibly, to dig and have a bor. So, according to the first Lashon, is there a possibility of being Somech? So, you have to, what we could do is we could take a look at the chart on the side. You see Abaye and Rova on at the top of the chart, and we have indicated Loshon number one. So Loshon number one, if it's a Sode, is Sode She'eno Asuya Leboros. According to Abaye, you're allowed to. According to Rova, you're not allowed to. What about, according to Lashon number one, Asodo HaAsuya Leboros? Are you allowed to Somech or not? Everyone will agree, no. It turns out then, according to Rava, if you look at Lashon one, according to Rava, you're never allowed to be Somech. Let's continue in the Gemara. Iko di Amri, Besode She'eno Asuya Leboros, Divrei HaKol Somech. According to the second Lashon, if it's not accustomed to having boros, everyone would agree you can be Somech. That would mean even Rava will agree you could be Somech to the border. Ki pligi besode ho asuyo leboros. Abaye Omar Somech. Abaye said, you can. As the Gemara continues, there's going to be a reference made to another machlokas tanoim that we have not seen yet. It comes up later. The machlokas between the Rabbonon and Rab Yossi. The Gemara is going to present it as we go along. When Abaye says you can be somech in the case of the boros, he goes so far as to saying, afilu l'Rabbonon di amri, in even according to the Rabbonon that say elsewhere, marchikin es ho'ilon min abor esrim v'chamesh amo, that if one neighbor has a bor and I want to plant a tree, I have to distance the tree 25 amos. So you see, the Shitas Rabbonon, they hold that you must engage in distancing. Hasam who, there they said you must distance. Deba idna de konota, at the point that you're planting the tree, iso labor. The bor is already there. There, the item that could be damaged is already there. Hence, you must distance. Abol hocha, in our case, be'idna de kochofar, at the point that Mr. One is coming to dig, lesa labor. There is no other bor there. That's why we emphasized in our introduction to this sukkah that we were talking about a situation where there were no boros on the scene. So this is different than the case there. Hence, Abaye says, you can be somech, even according to Shitas Rabbanan over there, in the case of the tree. V'rova Omar Eino Somech. Now Rova takes an extreme opposite position. V'afilu Reb Yossi, even according to Reb Yossi, who disagrees with the Rabbanan in the case of the tree, the Omar, what does Reb Yossi say? Ze chofer besoch shelo, v'ze notea besoch shelo. That even though someone has a bor already, the fellow who wants to plant a tree can plant it wherever he wants in his property. He has a bor in his property, and I could plant the tree in my property wherever I want.
Hani mili hasam. There, Rabbi Yossi is liberal. Debo idna de konota lesnu v'sharoshav de mazki lo labor. When the tree is being planted, the phenomenon causing the damage is not there. Namely, the roots are not there. The roots are that which would cause damage to the neighbor's bor as they grow and penetrate the bor walls. Avol hocha amrile. But in the case at hand, in our sukya, kol mora v'mora de komachis. Every shovel, the mora shovel, that komachis literally means that you hit the ground with the shovel, komarpis lo la roi, is loosening my ground. So that the neighbor that doesn't have the bor yet can say to the one that's coming to dig the initial bor, say, listen, I don't want you digging your bor right up along my property, because as you knock your shovel into the ground, you're loosening my property. And that's a damage to me immediately. As opposed to the tree, where there was no immediacy in damage, the roots weren't there yet. Up till this point then, what have we seen? We've seen Machlokes, Abaye, and Rava concerning the right to dig a bor right up along the property of his neighbor. We've also seen, there are two Lishonos, under what circumstances do Abaye and Rava disagree. We also noted on the chart previously that in looking at Lashon number one, according to Rava, there was no possibility of being Somech. Because if you look at the Roman numeral ones on your chart, you'll notice under Rava, each time there's a Roman numeral one, under Rava, you'll find Eino Somech. On the other hand, if you look at Roman numeral number two, you will find, according to Abaye, under Roman numeral number two, you're always allowed to be somech. So we can say, in summation, Rava Lashon 1, never somech. Abaye Lashon 2, always somech. What we've noted now will hold us in good stead as the Gemara goes on. As the Gemara goes on, you notice a series of triangles. As your eye scans the page, which is a necessary element in learning from the pre-marked Gemaras of the Shas Ozer edition, the eye scanning, as you look ahead, you'll notice that the directions of the triangles change. Why is that? So we note on the side of our Gemara, the triangle pointing up represents a source that indicates you're allowed to be Somech. That will then be a Kasha on Rava. If the triangle is pointing down, that will be introducing a source that indicates you're not allowed to be Somech, and that will ultimately be a Kashan Abaye. At the beginning of the Gemara, we had underlined the names for easy reference. When you see Abaye, you associate him with the Shita holding Somech. When you see Rava's name, you associate him with the Shita holding Eino Somech. Now, we know that that Machlokas can be qualified. However, at first glance, make that association. Abaye is Somech and Rava is Eino Somech. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanan, Lo Yachbor Odom Bor Somuch Leboro Shel Chavero. Our Mishnah of this parak opened up saying, you should not dig a bor next to the bor of your friend. So why is there limitation here? Taimo Diko Bor. The reason that I'm limited in the sense that I cannot dig right up to my neighbor's property because he's got a bor there. Hol leko bor somech. If there would be no bor, you could be somech. So then the Mishnah is basically saying, in the absence of boros, if you want to be the first to dig a bor, you could be somech. Well, bishlamo lahach lishna di amris. This conclusion that you're allowed to be somech works out well according to the second loshon that said, Besode she'eno asuyu leboros divrei hakol somech, that in a type of property that's not accustomed to having boros, everyone will agree you can be somech. Masnisin besode she'eno asuyu leboros. We can say our Mishnah is talking exactly about that case, a soda that doesn't usually have boros dug in it, and as a result of that, the first one could be somech, just like we concluded. Elolahach lishna de amris. According to Lashon number one, that was featured in the diamond above, the first diamond, that said, the Amris, Besoda She'eno Asuyu Loboros Pligi, that the Machlokis, Abaye and Rava, was in a Soda that is not accustomed to having Boros. And we said, based on our Mishnah allows being Somech. Bishlamola Abaye Nicha, then things will work out well according to Abaye. We can set our Mishnah up as Sode She'eno Asuyu Leboros. And we were Medayik from the Mishnah. You could be Somech. That's in accord with Abaye's opinion. Ela L'Rava Kasha. According to Rava, in the first Lashon, and this we had emphasized before, in the first Lashon, according to Rava, there's never an option of being Somech. Asuyu Leboros, certainly not. And even Eino Asuyu Leboros, not. But we read in our Mishnah that if there's no bor, you could be Somech. Omar Loch Rava. Ha Itmar Allah. Omar Abaye. V'itemo Rav Yehuda. We have arrows indicating where this was said above. We had already re-explained our Mishnah that Mishnah is talking about Mikoisel Boro Shoninu, that I am expected to distance myself from the wall of my friend's Bor. So the Mishnah, let us read the Mishnah again with this in mind. The Mishnah was positioned by the first triangle that you have here. It says, Lo Yachbor Odom Bor Somuch Leboro Shel Chavero. And then you have to understand, Elohim Kain Hirchik Mikoisel Boro Shel Chavero. That means that the first guy, when he dug his Bor, he also did not dig it right up along the border. I was distancing myself from what? From his boar's wall. That means he did not dig his pit right up along the border. He dug a pit in his property with a wall that was in his property, a wall of the pit. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ha Itmar Allah, just a few lines up from here in the Rashi. We learn from that. The first guy, when he dug his pit, also dug it three tfachim into his property, which is the thickness of a pit wall. Continuing in the Gemara. Iko di Amri. This is an alternative to Lashon 1. Hence, we've referred to this on the side of the Gemara, between the Gemara and the Tosis, with an inverted triangle, one base. It's also necessary to take a look at the Bach to appreciate the there's some missing words. We'll glance at the bottom of the page. Iko di Amri, Tanan, in the Bach Aleph. Tanan, lo yachbor odom bor somuch leboro shel chavero. That's a quote from the Mishnah. Glancing back into the Gemara text, the itmar Allah, and concerning the Mishnah, it was already stated, Omar Abai b'tem Rav Yehuda, mikoisel boro shoninu. That when the Mishnah said you should not dig your bor unless you distance yourself, you're distancing yourself from what? From the wall of the bor of my friend. So when my friend dug his bor, he was not somech either. He dug in, set into his property, leaving a wall of his bor as well, indicating to us that the bor itself could not be dug right up along the property. So we have a loshon of Gemara right now. This one base lashon of question says Eino Somech. Bishlamola hach lishna di amris. Bisodeho asuyu leboros divrei kol Eino Somech. according to Lashon number one, that's stated that a soda that is accustomed to having boros, everyone agrees, eino somech. And we were medayek from our Mishnah, eino somech. Masnis and besoda who asu leboros. We can set up our Mishnah as dealing with a field that's accustomed to having boros. Elolahach lishno di amris besoda who asu leboros pligi. But according to Lashon number two, that said that the machloikes Abaye and Rava is in a soda that's accustomed to having boros. Bishlamo leRava, according to Rava that said eino somech, and our Mishnah also is eino somech nicha. So we can set up our Mishnah as a soda hoasuya leboros. And our Mishnah is saying eino somech, that's fine for Rava. Elo leAbaye kasha, but according to Abaye, we have a problem. Because according to Abaye, there's no situation of eino somech. And you can glance at your chart and see, when you look at number two, Roman number two on your chart, and you look under Abaye's name as associated with Roman number two, you see somech by Abaye, and again you see somech. So under all circumstances, Lefi Abaye, according to Loshen number two, you are being somech. So how is it that we were medayek from our Mishnah eino somech? Or we learn from our Mishnah thusly, Omar loch Abaye, Masnisin, the case of the Mishnah that says, Eino somech, Shebo'u lachpor bebasachas. You have two people that came at the same time to dig. So if they come at the same time to dig, it's only logical to suggest that they're not going to be digging right up along the border. Toshma, we bring a source, and we already introduced at the beginning in our Shas Ozer edition that this is going to indicate Eino Somech. As a result, it's going to be a Kashan Abaye who represented the Shita of Somech. What does it say? You have illustration 256. Sela Habo Biodayim. You have ground that is crumbly. Ze Choyfer Boro Mikan Veze Choyfer Boro Mikan. Ze marchik shloisha tvochim v'sod besid, v'ze marchik shloisha tvochim v'sod besid. That each one must dig three tvochim set away from the property of his friend and apply sid to the walls of what he dug. So what do you see from here? You see the phenomenon of distancing. The Gemara rejects this as a kasha, or Abaye answers, bo biodayim shiny. Crumbly ground is different. As a result of it being crumbly ground, so of course I can't dig right up along the border of my friend. As soon as I start digging, I'll be ruining his ground. His ground will start to crumble. Truth be told, this response is so obvious. The source itself began by saying, Sela habo biyodayim. It shouldn't have been even brought into this discussion. In the bracketed section that you see in this, in our Shas Ozer edition, the Gemara will be raising a question and answering it. Namely, how could the Makshan here have even brought this into the discussion? After the brackets, the Gemara will continue the analysis of the Machlokas Abaye and Rava, trying to ask kashas to one of those opinions. So, taking a look at this section in the brackets, Udekori law, my Kori law. What did the Makshan even have in mind when he brought this source in, when the distinction is so obvious? The Gemara answers, Bo biyodayim itzterichalei. The Makshan understood as follows. I think, says the Makshan, that you always have to distance yourself. Ah, if that be the case, why did the source feature Bo biyodayim? This Tana had a special agenda in featuring that, but not to the exclusion of other cases where the ground is solid. There too, you would have to distance yourself. Why then is this feature, this example? Sakadaita Chaminivna, I would have thought without having been told the case of Bobi Adayim, Kevon de Bobi Adayim, that since it's crumbly ground, Liboy Nami Revocha Tfei, that you'd have to distance yourself more than three tvachim. Komash Malan, That's the chiddush of the source, that even though it's crumbly ground, three tefachim is sufficient. But not to the exclusion of other cases. Not only crumbly ground must you distance yourself three tefachim, you always must distance yourself three tefachim. Thought the makshan, thought the one who raised this as a kasha. And then the Gemara answered that no, that the distinction of Baal Biyadayim is significant, completely significant. That only in the case of Baal Biyadayim do you have to distance yourself, and in the case of solid ground, you wouldn't have to distance yourself. That would be the defense for Abaye's position. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.